All right, working moms, I cannot wait for you to listen in on this interview that I am about to have with Whitney Baker. She's my new best friend. She's the founder of Electric Ideas, where she helps modern women, especially moms, reconnect with their inner spark and feel alive in their own life. And I can't even begin to say how important I think this topic is for us as women. We tend to get so lost in the day-to-day life as a mom and taking care of others. Like, when is that moment where we reconnect with ourselves, our joy, and what like lights us up? So can't wait for this conversation. Thank you, Whitney, for being on the podcast with me today.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Yeah. So you are a mom of two. Let's get some of the basics out of the way, right? You're a mom of two. So tell us a little bit about you and kind of what you do, family, all the things that we need to know before we get jump in right here.
Sure. Yeah. What can I tell you? I live in Chicago. I have two junior high girls. So I'm kind of in this interesting phase of my motherhood work mix journey where yeah. they don't need me as much in person, but they need me more than ever in some ways.
I know. I can't even imagine that. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. And from a work, I love that your audience is working moms because this has been like a decade, actually. Basically, my oldest is 13. Since she's born, I think I have tried every iteration of the work-life balance possible. And I feel like I can speak into every situation. And so yeah, I'm just excited to connect with your community.
I'm so glad you're here. Okay, so I would love to like kick us off by talking about kind of how you got into this idea, like this electric ideas kind of world, right? I love that term. I would love to hear more about what that even means to you and really, you know, what it looked like for you to kind of reconnect with your own electric idea, your own like spark, as you like to say. So can you share a little bit of your story and that journey?
Yeah. So I guess I will take us back in time to when I had my, yes, right?
There we went.
Okay. Cue the music. I love it. I would take us back in time. So I was working in a global marketing and PR agency in a creative role. So on paper, it was kind of a glitzy city job. I worked in the Hancock Building and I had my first daughter and I really just did not know what I was getting into as none of us, nobody can prepare. You can read the books. But I knew that I wanted to contribute outside the home and I had a master's degree and I was invested. So I went back to work full time and lo and behold, I got pregnant very soon after and ended up having my daughters 14 months apart. And that was quite a whammy, as everybody who's listening can imagine.
Yeah.
So
a bunch of us just went, oh my God. Can't even imagine. Yeah.
So I just really fell into this. I didn't have the words for it now, but I really, really flipped into this overfunctioning, autopilot, stressed out mode of version of myself. And here I thought I would be a trailblazer. So I worked with my global company and I was nervous because agencies, they say it's kind of like working dog lives, like, or dog years. You know, it's a pretty demanding, high-paced environment. And so I negotiated 4 days and I thought that was going to feel better. After my second daughter, I mean, it was still too much. So here I decided, okay, I'm just going to ask. All we can do is ask. I didn't know any woman who'd ever gone down to 3 days, but I was willing to just ask. And I was nervous. And they said yes. So here I thought, oh my God, I'm a trailblazer. I've found this holy grail. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to find this mythical balance that we all look for. And it was awful. That version of me had no boundaries, had no, you know, none of the skills I know now. And I was just trying to take calls with a baby on my hip, get them both down. I wasn't able to do the jobs I wanted to do because I wasn't client facing enough, but I felt like I was failing in both places.
Yeah, across the board. Right. And I think that's so common because we think that working less hours or getting some sort of more flexible schedule can be, is going to be, you know, the solution on some level. And I think it is for some companies in some ways, you know, I don't want to discount that. But for like the ambitious, driven kind of woman, all that means is we fit the 40-hour work week into 30 hours-ish, or we take the extra 10 hours and it bleeds out into our personal time instead. And then we feel like we're failing because we're never doing enough across any way. So, I mean, I think
that's we're getting paid less.
And we're getting paid less to do it. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I'm not saying it's the wrong option. It is for some people, but we also have to have like a real realistic understanding of what it takes to do that well.
Yes.
otherwise it just bites us in the end, right? To your point.
Yes. And that version of me wasn't equipped at all.
Yeah.
I was
just
so eager to prove that I still had it and I could still, you know, get on, you know, pitch clients the next day and be on my A game. I was in a very different mode. So eventually I hit a burnout point, which was really hard, and I quit. But within a week of quitting, I was putting an insane amount of pressure on myself, if I'm being honest, to begin freelancing. I was updating my resume, putting it out. I didn't have any language or knowledge about a power pause or designing your life. Like I'm glad these conversations are starting to come up now. I just felt like I was going to lose my footing immediately in the professional world, and I didn't want to. So I've forgiven that version of myself. We don't know better. We can only like learn.
Yep.
But during that time, I also started to come up for air a little bit. My daughter started to go into, you know, preschool a couple hours. I'm sure you remember when it was like, oh my God, I got the like 2.25 hours and I have like 17 things. Like, what's going to win the lottery today? I'm on attention. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
But I did start to come up for air a little bit, and I realized I'd abandoned a lot of pieces of myself in that time. I realized, you know, I'd always had a soulful side. I'd always had a super creative writing and creative honoring side that when I was working with creative in my role, in my job title, I didn't have any juice left for anything playful and personal and creative. And it was really a time of reinvention. And I finally, I'll let you chime in, but it just was like really a mirror time for me. So I'll pause there because I know that's a lot.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and it's in, you know, I don't think everybody has to get to the low of the low to make the change. Ideally, that's why you hire a coach or you do something before you ever get to that point, right? But sometimes that's what's required for us in our humanness, get to the low of the low. And then, like if we segue into what led into kind of the electric ideas and kind of the spark that you talk about, like what happened there?
Yeah. So I started giving myself permission just to reclaim those parts of me that I'd not done. I took a writing class for fun, right? Not because I needed deliver.
For fun?
Yes.
For fun. I know. Yes. What's that?
Right?
Okay.
I just started doing things like that, but I will tell you, because you mentioned coach. So I had never heard of this whole coaching world.
Yes.
And I happened to be at a talk and I heard this woman talking about coaching, and I felt frustrated because out of the gate, I wasn't getting the perfect freelance. They call it like permalance, like these nice, long, juicy opportunities. So I thought a career coach would help me, you know, find these better opportunities, right? So finally, I hired someone. Thank my lucky stars. She also was kind of like a career life visionary. And as she started giving me these assignments, like basic things like I'm sure we've all heard the advice, you know, like find the companies and then like, you know, and my energy was just like down. Like I'm just like, it was like punishing.
Terrible. Yeah.
And finally she was like, do you even want these opportunities? And I was like, no.
No, I don't. Yeah. I love that. I love the honesty there.
Yes. And I think that it's really hard. I think that motherhood's a portal. and it's an initiation. And sometimes it's like we realize things we've been long committed to and ways of being are just not important to us anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I call that, I mean, for me, I call that like the motherhood identity crisis that hits a lot of moms, right? The moment you start having kids and you're like, what the heck am I doing with my life? Is this what I even want to be doing? Who am I anymore? What even like lights me up, you know? And once you kind of finally come up from air from the sleep deprivation and the constant feeding and all the things, and you're like, whoa, like, wow, life kind of kept going while I was gone. I wonder where I fit in. You know, that's the motherhood identity crisis. And so many moms experience that. Maybe every mom does on some level, and for some, it's like just really intense for them, right? It feels so different. Life feels so different and their goals feel so different and what they connect with feels so different, you know, that it's very confusing and it makes you feel really lost during that. Oh,
absolutely. I called it my murky middle, but I can only call that now because I didn't have the words. At the time, I was just in this quiet confusion. I felt deeply grateful that I had the privilege of having worked for so long and saved enough and having the stability of a partner that I could have a little bit of this opportunity to pause or shift or rethink. So that guilt kept me quiet. I was like, who am I to want more?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so at some point you reconnected with the spark. What happened
yes.
there?
Yes. Well, so in parallel path, I was exploring my own creativity. I've always been kind of a spiritual seeker, and I started getting very much into meditation. And I will tell you that it's a practice that really transformed my life and gave me a sense of spaciousness of like what really matters and being able to like pull back, like look at things from a way, way, way higher perspective. As I slowly healed from that rat race nervous system sense of being that I didn't even realize I was on. And I started, you know, reclaiming my own creativity and feeling my essence and like just feeling like myself again, not constantly under this like pressure cooker mode. I was like, what are we doing to women right now? Like so Electric Ideas was born out of this knowing that there is a different way to contribute to the world. And I only know now because I've researched and discovered it and followed this calling and this knowing that I think that we're working in a lot of outdated structures and cultural expectations that were never built for women, especially moms, to thrive in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt that and wanted to change that. And it's been so far my life's work for the last several years.
Yeah. So what does Electric Ideas even mean to you?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I began, it's kind of that moment of aha that sparks a possibility.
Yeah.
I think we move, especially as women, we move on such like, got to get this done. We're driven by our calendars, our to-dos as moms. It's just like we're putting out fires reactively. When we pause and we have the visceral like, whoa, I can operate differently.
Yeah.
Separately, as my work just becomes deeper and deeper to me, I think at like a more profound layer, I see it as like truly believing that when we are fueled from the inside out, we're able to contribute at a higher level. And that's the biggest pivot. You know, people talk about self-care as like a bubble bath or whatever. And it's like, no, when we really deeply tend to ourselves, we can reach our potential.
Yeah. Yeah. How do women connect with this kind of inside out fuel, right? This spark that's within them. What are some thoughts or ideas on how to help women do that?
Great. Yeah, well, that's we can talk all through the December about these ideas. But one thing I guess I'll say that might feel fresh for your listenership, because I know there's so many women who are juggling and straddling and ambitious, and they want to be a present mother and they want to be a fulfilled, you know, career woman as well.
Yeah.
And I think that we all are like, we can all raise our hand that we're tired. Like women are tired. However, we've all had those weekends where hopefully we're like, okay, we're intentionally, no plan is the plan. We're going to chill. We're going to rest. Okay. I'm all for intentional rest. However, that doesn't make you feel lit up and energized. Mm-hmm. And so I think that most of what I teach is connecting with yourself and creating rhythms that allow you rest, but also that allow you to feel energized and lit up and inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's that combination.
I feel like this is a kind of a funny question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you think it even means to be lit up? I think so many women lose that spark, right? And they lose sight of what that even means to connect with that spark. So how would you describe that lit up experience, if you will?
So many women are driven by the doing, going, juggling. And if you look at the root word of inspired, it literally means to be in spirit. So when you think about it that way, we all know when we're in a state of play, we're in a state of flow, and it just, there's ease and there's energy, and that's what we want to share. I feel like, unfortunately, in the land of shoulds ruling our lives as working moms, that just doesn't naturally happen. We almost have to cultivate that intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure do. And I think there's the light up experience is something that's happening on the inside of you, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something that's happening on the outside. It's inspiring the things that you do, but it's not the things that you do, which is, I think, a really clear delineation on some level. Like, it's an inside internal body experience, right? So for me, when I start to think about things that light me up, I literally feel a very different sensation, like pulsing through my body, than I do when I'm productive, for example, which also can have its own energy and its own drive and its own satisfaction. But I think that lit up spark that you're talking about is really a difference of like body. It's like a different vibrational experience in our body. That's how we know that we're lit up, right? And it's, we're going to connect with it on all sorts of levels. Like, there's a different pace to the light up than there is in other, you know, in other things that drive us and motivate us.
I think that's exactly right, Rebecca. I mean, just that visceral sense, that embodied sense.
Yeah. So yes. Good. Yeah. I want to circle back to like, what can women do to try to reconnect with that? What does that look like to reconnect with that?
Sure. So,
or to find it all new, to be honest. Like, sometimes it's like a brand new spark. Your spark might be way different than it was prior to motherhood. That's great. But how do we find it
for
again?
Both. Yeah. And I'll definitely speak into both. So it's funny. I've for years have taught this 6-week program with different kind of a different theme every week. And I do one on kind of this like play and spark. And it's the hardest one for moms.
Really?
It's the hardest one for moms.
That's so interesting.
It's so interesting. There's a small assignment and it's part of a tool I'll share, and it's called a delight date. And all that means is you have to schedule half an hour during that week and do something that's not attached to outcome, that brings a sense of wonder, childlike play. Go crunch on some leaves. It can't be something that's in your normal routine, like, okay, I'm just going to do my yoga class, you know? Like, it has to be something kind of novel.
Yeah.
50% of the moms are like, yeah, I did that kind of, but I brought my kid because I thought that she'd really, that's the only other rule. You have to do it by yourself. It's just for yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
Women struggle.
That feels so challenging.
So much. And it's 30 minutes. It's because we've been taught as adults that play feels frivolous. And really, when we're talking about that inspired energy, like, think about you telling your child to put away her backpack. Maybe that's the only a problem in my house, but think about you being in a playful state or an inspired state because you created that spark for yourself, and then facing kind of these small things that every mom has. And handling it playfully because you have that energy to share, or being the mom that's trying to get that last thing done, heads down, crunching on her assignment, whatever, her work, they come in the door and moving from a not playful place. I mean, it really has a ripple into our work and our family.
Yeah.
So I think scheduling a delight date, but sometimes women have such struggle with that, that I've made it even easier. I think planned spontaneity is a strategy.
Okay. Ooh, tell me more. Planned spontaneity.
Yes. So women are so used to just ruling the household and I don't want to be presumptuous, but you know, it's like we get small chunks of time, and instead of being like, sweet, I'm going to sip my tea and relax on the couch, we'll be like, oh, okay, I've got 20 minutes. What can I get done? That's like a reflex for a lot of modern moms, especially working women.
Yeah.
So instead of putting this forced, like, I'm going to go play pickleball randomly at 10 a.m. because I have a meeting break. Fine. Okay. If you can't get your head around that, fine. Put a pocket of time on your calendar. Just carve it out and treat it the same way you would treat your meetings. And when it comes to that time, say what sounds fun. Ask yourself. Check in with yourself that day. And fun doesn't have to look like ha-ha fun. I mean, fun for me sometimes is like walking through a plant store leisurely and not feeling a lick of guilt about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I take a bath in the middle of the day.
I do that all the time and love it. Yes.
Yes, in the middle of your day. That's craziness to some people. Maybe it's taking a nap in the middle of your day, for that matter. I don't know.
Totally. Or, you know, reading your novel before nighttime. You know, nobody ever said that you could only read at night. That's the sort of thing.
Read a magazine that has nothing to do with anything. It's the trashiest thing that has terrible news in it, but it's like a guilty pleasure by all means.
I feel like you can all like that. That's the just removing the should, removing the outcome, not needing to tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
But I'm all about energy management, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you see, Sometimes when you treat that spark, you tend to that spark, it ends up giving you more energy to do all the things you think you want to buzz around and do. And you're happier.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fascinated by this idea of like we talk a lot about rest and the need for rest. You know, obviously as a coach, I talk a lot about that with women and so forth. And the need to like not be productive. That's kind of what I mean by rest, like purely literally letting those synaptics in your brain calm down, to not think so hard, to sleep a full night, you know, whatever it is. Super important for us to kind of function at an optimal level. I love the idea that so is like following spontaneity and fun. That also rests our brain in a different way. Cause you, by doing almost any of those things, you're shifting from one side of your brain to the other one, the one that's in super overdrive and productivity and results focus. Like when you're doing something fun for the sake of fun, it is not, you are moving into a different part of your brain. So you're letting the productive part of your brain rest for a while. You're lighting up a different part of your brain. It brings you energy in a different way so that when you return, this is the same thing that happens with rest, right? And so when you return to daily life and all of the responsibilities and tasks that you have, there's a completely different motivation, drive, energy, positivity, all sorts of things that come with that, right? And so I love that there's so many ways that we can do that. I mean, this is a challenge for me too. So I just love this idea. So good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I know you have a lot of ambitious women in your community, and I'm guessing that they might, some of them fall into that, like, this is hitting me, but I can't really see myself doing it.
I know.
The more I work with groups of women and companies, the more I really have to get them to come over to the side of me understanding that I also was a creative at a company, and that ideas aren't normally your your best and brightest ideas don't usually happen when your head's down at your computer. They need mm-hmm. marination.
That's why we have the best ideas in the shower. This is why this, where this comes from, right? Or we have the best ideas when we're playing in the leaves or when we're doing something, fun or creative. Absolutely.
And I'll also say for all the women who are heads down working at home, because I know there's so much like gray area, I've gone out for my little delight dates or whatever, and I bumped into a neighbor. I've talked to someone at a store, and I've ended up having some interesting connection that I could have never come across if I was just like heads down in the name of getting stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that so much. You know, this is not the same thing, but it's reminding me of this. I just had one of my cohort calls. So I run a program called Ambitious and Balanced. And so we had a call yesterday and we were talking about, she was talking about how challenging it is when her kids get silly. And she's just like, will you just please put on your shoes instead of clucking like a chicken, you know? And so we were talking about this kind of irritation that comes up regularly. And so I at the end of this kind of coaching moment with her, I challenged her to get silly with her kids. I was like, what if instead of trying to move them past these moments, you had 10 seconds of embracing it, right? So if they cluck like a chicken, you cluck like a chicken for 10 minutes, right? Because she has two young boys. She's like, if your boys start burping and try to out burp each other at the dinner table, like you're like, hey, let's all have a burping contest. We're all going to go around once and then we're going to be done. Right. But you participate in the silliness of what your kids are going to do. She looked at me like I was speaking like a completely different language. She's like, I can't even imagine myself doing. I'm like, I know. That's what's so great. I thought it was delightful. She embraced it. She was like, I'm really going to try and I'm going to come back. I'm going to report how it goes because I see the benefit of it. But it takes us getting out of this like box that we put ourselves in and the responsibility and the controlledness that we feel like we need in order to be successful, productive, move things along, joyful, whatever it is, right? And getting out of that and like tapping into some other energies that light us up.
Yeah. I love all of that. And I'm glad that you challenged that. You know, I think kids can bring up weird rules that we've absorbed along the way. I feel like the healthiest thing, I can only speak to my own household, but I think the healthiest part of my motherhood is when I'm feeling disconnected or I feel like somebody just feels like they're giving me the grump or like not listening or whatever. Instead of doubling down, you know, trying to get into that controller mode, which is the worst version of myself for me. And I'm very aware of that. And it doesn't feel good. And it's not fun for me. I don't want to parent that way. I look for something to do that's around play and lightness and connection.
Yeah. And which probably looks very different for your kids in middle school than
it does for
kids that are toddlers, right? But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I wish I would have understood that. I think it was more natural to me. But that has been a pattern interrupt.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. My husband studied improv, something I probably never shared on the podcast before. So, some of my listeners know that I have a theater degree. So I have a musical theater degree. Performance. It's what I did many years ago, whatever. Married a husband that also did the same thing. Neither one of us do that now, though, of course, those skill sets came in handy all throughout our adulthood and will continue. But he really loved improv. And the one rule of improv is that you always say yes. So you always accept what somebody says to you, no matter how strange it is. So you say yes, and then you build on it. And so that's where it gets funny is when somebody in improv offers something like outrageous and you're like, yes, I agree with you. And it builds on it. Right. So there's like this yes and mentality that I want, you know, working moms to have. Your kids offer to you something they want to do, something you have no desire to do, some like an invitation to participate with them in something that isn't necessarily your jam or you're like in a work mode and so you want to do something else. But the answer is yes. And it's like, yes, I will do it. And to challenge this kind of, it like circles around cluck like a chicken, join the burp contest, right? It's like, or play Uno when your kid asks to play Uno, or read to them, even if it's inconvenient. Or for my kids right now, it's like, will you come out and play soccer? I got 10 minutes. Let's do it, right? Like it's a yes mentality that gets us, again, kind of gets us out of this very narrow one side of our brain and into opening up the it's opening up possibilities for who knows what, joy, fun, ideas, new adventures, like memories. We don't know what's going to come until we start saying yes to some of that.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love bringing that.
There's a third challenge I just offered right there. A yes challenge.
Yes, and no, I like it. And you brought up some really interesting things. For me, like part of it, I feel like now that you know that I've done the whole 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, intentional pause, freely, mom guilt plays around no matter where.
Yeah.
I will say, like, another just lesson that I've learned is 10 minutes of total focus goes way farther than you would ever think. You know, so many moms are like, oh, you know, the statistics bear out. I'm sure you've seen them, that we as a generation are spending way more time with our parents or with our children.
Okay. Yeah.
Than previous generations.
Yes, absolutely.
We're also working way more.
And we feel more guilt about
it. And we feel more guilt about everything.
It's wild.
A timer was my best friend when I had younger kids.
Absolutely.
And it sounds silly, but it was just like, okay, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm going to do this for 10 minutes and then I'm going to do my work and I'm going to let you see me doing my work and you can join me or not, or you can keep going. And it really like just pour that, but you have to be in that energetic state, kind of like what you were saying. So we have to, you know, we have to beware of our energy. So we're even open to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think timers are really helpful, particularly for us that it's not like we're saying, say yes to something that's going to take hours away from your time. I mean, maybe be open to it if you have the space to do that, but most of us don't. We still have lists to do or work to do or whatever it is. Fine. Set a really intentional amount of like container of space that you are saying yes to this thing. And whether you need a timer, or for my kids, I'm usually, before I start, something super clear with how long I have to do it. So that like, I know, my brain knows that I'm not going to do this forever. I'm going to get back to whatever I was doing before. My kids know, and they have a set up expectation of it. Like timers and containers of time are magic when it comes to some of those things, and really helps our kind of our type A brain allow us to like have a moment where we're not being productive because we know we're going to get back to productivity, but it still gives us that space, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I love that.
I agree.
So we've been talking so much about like reconnecting with your own spark and the things that light you up and, you know, talking through some of those tools. Sometimes these sparks lead to much bigger changes or much bigger ideas. I assume that yours kind of led you into where you headed into your business. Can you share, you could share a little bit about your own experience with that, but also like where do you see these, like when you reconnect with your spark, where do you see it go for women? And it's like, kind of like, why does it even matter to reconnect with this in the first place?
Thank you. What a beautiful question, and something I've been thinking about a lot. I think that as modern women and moms, we were sold a bag of goods that we could do it all. And like we've briefly touched on, the expectations of motherhood and culturally and the way workforces are structured are really not in a place that support us doing it all without entering complete depletion. So I think it's a radical choice to choose your own energy and attention and decide that you are going to design your life instead of just respond or assume. And so that's where that shift comes. It really has to almost be felt, like when you decide that you are not willing to routinely sacrifice your well-being in order to be a mother, in order to contribute your gifts to the world professionally, it's a big shift. And I think that that's what I'm calling for women. But it's not selfish. It's truly a generous act. Because we've talked about this. It's generous because it allows you to be grounded and whole in the most important job in the world as a mother. And it's generous because we need women at every table, in every room, of every company, every office, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And if women are burnout and can't contribute from their area of genius, we're missing out. We're missing ideas. We're missing the intelligence and the creativity of women. So I'm really calling on this shift. I think it's essential.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about it from like a societal, cultural level, right? You know, I have something similar where I like that really motivates me in the work that I do, and like closing the leadership gap at the top and seeing more women in leadership and seeing the power of more diversity at the top. What I know is required is that we're supporting women at the moment that they start having kids. Mm-hmm. Because that is where their trajectory drops. I mean, we see it statistically, you know, and 1/3 of women change jobs, leave jobs, pull back in their career. 1/3 of them within the first 18 months of starting to have kids. It's a huge amount of women that shift, and we lose their trajectory at the top. And to your point, like the more women that feel sparked and feel alive with their own ideas and their own creativity and their own fire, like the more we're going to see the world's going to change through that, right? We have the best ideas, and we have creativity beyond belief, and we problem solve in different ways, and we strategically think in different ways, and we're empathetic in different ways. And so we need more women to live alive within that spark that's in them, that's already exists within them, right? If they tap into it.
Yes. And we need female leaders who are willing to model.
I know.
Leading, yes, without exploiting themselves.
Yes.
Really. I'm still dreaming and figuring this out. I don't think we're going to solve decades and decades of like cultural, political, structural stuff. But I'm hopeful. And I think in the meantime, we don't want to wait for these structures. Let's all advocate. Let's get these policies changed. Let's help them, you know, but also let's not have half the women who are just about to get the biggest promotion of their lives quit, because so that's where I stand at this immediacy, intersection. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So good. Well, we gotta kind of ramp things up, unfortunately, here, but I just have loved this conversation around refining your spark. It's such an important one for us as women. I love what you do. I think it's such an important, as we dive into like why it's important, right? It's so important in this world. I'm so grateful for you. If our listeners want to get connected with you, follow your work, what is the best way to find you?
Thank you. I keep it playful on Instagram, so you can come hang out there. You can find me at Whitney Woman. My website is myelectricideas.com. So there's, you know, ways to connect with me if you've got a women's group or your company or one-on-one. And then finally, the Electric Ideas podcast is truly a life-giving area of contribution for me. So you can subscribe and check out my work there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you didn't know, this is how we all connected. It's because I was on her podcast. And I think this one's going to come out before mine comes out on yours. So you can listen to me there for that matter in the coming weeks or months, whenever that comes out. Just thank you for your time. I will put, you know, all of your information in our show notes as well, so it's easy for people to click on that and find you. I'm looking you up right now on Instagram. I don't think I follow you. I want playfulness on my Instagram. Who doesn't want playfulness on their Instagram? That sounds like fun. So Working moms, if you missed it, there was a challenge for you to take yourself out on a delight date this week, or to plan some spontaneity, or to say yes to something you would not normally say yes to with your kids. All ways to spark fun, to spark adventure, to spark ideas, to find that light within you again that we know is in there and the world needs to see. So take us up on one of those challenges. And until next week, let's get to it.